aching. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by if you smile through your fear and sorrow. Smile and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness. Hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just smile.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Grief Chat, and we are always joined on Grief Chat by the host, Mitch Carmody, and we're thrilled today. Mitch has a guest calling in. Her name is Laura Deal. She's the co-founder of GPS Hope, and we're going to learn all about that as well. First of all, welcome to Grief Chat, both of you.
Well, thank you, Mo.
Tell us a little bit about what you've been up to, Mitch.
Well, with the COVID, not too much. I've been doing a lot of different Zoom meetings and whatnot for small chapters and different groups. In fact, recently did one with Laura. And that's why when we talked last on one of her interviews, and I said, you know, gosh, it'd be great to have Laura and Dave on the show, or Laura or one of them on the show, and to talk about the great thing that they've done with the Grieving Parents Share Group, or Grieving Parents Share Hope, that they started after the death of their daughter, Becca, I think was in 2011. And she wrote the book When Tragedy Strikes. They bought a van. They're driving all over the country, administering to people grieving. And she's just a prolific writer and a minister, and just so many things that I think, without further ado, we just have Laura get on here and tell us about Becca and your wonderful grief services that you provide.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. And, I love getting a chance to talk about Becca. Of course, we all do. I guess I'll just start there. And it's a long story, but I'll make it as short as I can. When our daughter Becca was 3 years old, she was diagnosed with cancer. It was bone cancer. And so she actually, at 3 years old, had her little left leg amputated and went through 9 months of chemotherapy. And what they found out later was that one of the chemo drugs they were giving children at the time, the long-term effects was heart damage. And so she was tested. She had moderate damage. And being married and a pregnancy escalated that. And so the last 10 years was dealing with heart issues to the point where she actually needed a heart transplant. But she wasn't healthy enough to get on the transplant list. And so they were trying to get her healthy enough for that. And her heart just gave out in the process. So on October 12, 2011, I picture her on two legs dancing with Jesus, no more heart issues. And it sent me to a really dark place. And I don't have to tell anybody what that dark place is like. I didn't even know that kind of darkness and suffocation existed. I just started fighting my way out of that darkness. I just felt like I knew there was a seed of hope in me, and I had to figure out how to nourish that and just get back to a place of hope and light and purpose again. And so I fought my way out of that. And in the process, people started coming to us saying, I hear you lost a daughter. I just lost a child. Can you help me? And my thing was, I don't know what I'm doing. This is a new world to me, too. Let's just walk it out together. And in the process of that, we had a little group in our home for a while, and we came up with this name, GPS Hope, which stands for Grieving Parents Sharing Hope. and it turned into writing books that Mitch mentioned. The one I'm known for the most is When Tragedy Strikes, Rebuilding Your Life with Hope and Healing After the Death of Your Child. It's won a few awards. I also have like a grief coloring book and journal for parents and one for kids. So there are books out there, but in the process then we started traveling and speaking, and grief is a lot of hard work. And, you know, we still grieve the death of our daughter, and then when you're helping other people walk through their grief, that doing the hotel thing and restaurants was not the best. And so, long story short, we ended up with a 38-foot Class A motorhome that we sold our house to our oldest son, and we're on the road full-time now, offering support and resources to grieving parents. I have a podcast, YouTube channel, Facebook page. We just try to make things available. However a parent needs to receive something, we try to make that available for them.
Laura, let's get back to Becca. Certainly when she was a toddler at 3, that must have been devastating news, and that's grief in itself, isn't it, a diagnosis of cancer?
Oh, definitely, definitely, big time. And people will ask, you know, how did a 3-year-old, how did you help her deal with that? And it was interesting, and it was hard to watch, because they actually gave her a little doll, and they cut the little doll's leg off. And then they explained to her what was going to happen, you know, the owie, and you'd watch her play with it, and you could watch her process this, because she'd be playing with this doll and hopping it along on one leg, and then one time I heard her say, they're not going to take my leg, I'm not going to let them. And, it was rough.
And at the time, I would assume you thought that was the worst thing that could ever happen to you.
Pretty much. And the interesting thing, she was at Madison University Hospital, and there were, I want to say, 14 kids on the ward with her for the most part, because you're in with the treatments out, in, out. But there were about 14 main kids, and she was like the only one that survived treatments. I mean, they were all dealing with different kinds of cancers, but that's hard to watch, too.
I agree completely. It's another, as we had a similar journey, but different, but where
yes,
we had the grief, the battle journey, and then the death grieving journey. And I think we learned a lot of skills in the fighting cancer journey, but you don't anticipate the death. I mean, it's every day. It's like battling it every day. And Becca lived to be 29, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she had a daughter. So we have that blessing.
Tell us about Becca. How did the loss of her leg and being sick at such a young age affect her, and how did it come out in her personality?
Oh, I love that question. Thanks for asking. The interesting thing is, you know how a lot of times we talk about the death of a child, losing a child is like having an amputation. A part of your very being has been cut off from you, and you have to figure out how to live with that part of you missing. And the thing is, we had a front row seat to watch that for 26 years, to watch how our daughter adapted and learned to live without a leg. Now, she had a prosthetic leg, and we actually keep that with us. And when we speak, we actually show the leg. It's real small, her first prosthetic leg, as this illustration of that we can learn how to live with a part of us missing. And she didn't run like the other kids. There were things that she couldn't do like the other kids. There were times that if kids didn't know why she walked funny, she would be laughed at. But her personality, well, there were two main things I would say about her personality. She was so strong-willed. She was hard to raise because she was so strong-willed. But I believe that's what kept her alive for so long also. And the other thing was, she knew how to bring fun and laughter into any situation. Her last year and a half of life, she was given a VAD, a ventricular assist device. It's a heart pump that ran the left side of her heart while they were trying to get her to transplant. And so she was in the hospital more than she was out. She had like a dozen ambulance rides. She had 3 medical helicopter emergency ride. She had a stroke, just all kinds of, it was a real roller coaster that last year and a half. But she made it fun. She made it fun for everyone. And I'm not saying there weren't times where there were down times and depression and tears, but as a whole, I think because she had lived her whole life without the leg and had learned how to live that way, that she learned how to live a life, a full life of meaning and purpose, even though it might not have looked like the people around her.
Were you surprised that she passed away? Was Becca's death unexpected?
Boy, yes and no. They ended up taking the heart pump out, and her life was so limited, and her quality of life was so low with the heart pump. And after she had the stroke, she was immobile. She already didn't have a left leg. Now her left arm was very hard to use. She had a situation where she did go into cardiac arrest and had was out. They put her on ice. And so when she came out of that, her brain was fuzzy, so she didn't quite think as clearly. And she actually, her last Christmas, her and her husband and her daughter went to Chicago because she was actually making a list of pros and cons. Do I leave the pump in and try to get the transplant, or do I ask them to take it out and just live what life I have left with the heart I have? And she had a freak accident where they were actually forced to take the pump out. It was shorting in and out of her heart, and they ended up just closing her up and saying, you know, we're done here. And so you can't help but hold out hope. You can't help but the night that she died, she was supposed to be dismissed the next morning. She was in the hospital for routine diuretic waistic overload, and she was supposed to be dismissed the next morning with a new piece of equipment that they were going to try for her heart, and they were going to train us on it the next morning. And it was that evening that her heart gave out. And so, yeah, there was an expectation in a way, but you can't help but hold on to hope that this just isn't going to happen. And I really did feel blindsided when she died. I have to say I really did feel blindsided because I really thought she was going to make it to transplant somehow.
So tell us about your granddaughter. Do you see a lot of Becca in her?
Oh, yes. I'm so thankful for that. You know, at the beginning, sometimes that can be hard. But as you go along, the memories and the things that were grief triggers become something that you're thankful for to have, the memories and those kinds of things. And, yeah, she is so much like her mom. And so we love being around her when we get the chance, and her dad is remarried and there's another family there, but we do get to see her and spend time with her. And when, you know, when something like she'll laugh or smile and I'll say, oh my goodness, that was so much like your mom, and she will just light up. And she's almost 18. And so, yeah, it's a real blessing to have her as part of Becca still with us.
And what does she hope to do when she's done with high school?
She actually is saying she wants to go into computers. So she's got a mind like her mom and her grandpa. She's very a thinker.
Well, I was just going to say, what, Laura, what gave you the most hope beginning? Because you're trying to provide hope for other people with what you're doing. What provided you with that hope initially?
I guess for me, it's my relationship with God. And having an intimacy with him and knowing him and knowing how good he is, knowing how faithful he is. And I know that might sound weird because, like, when she had her cancer and had her leg amputated, at that time I have what I would call a presumptuous faith. I felt like the more people I told that God was going to heal her and she wasn't going to have this amputation, the more he would have to be faithful to himself and heal her. And when that didn't happen, it sent me on a journey of faith. What is all this about? And what I've come to learn, my husband really nailed it when Becca went to have her baby. It was a life and death, 50-50 chance. They didn't know she'd survive labor and delivery, and they just didn't know. And so when they took her back, I was crying, and I told Dave, my husband, I don't know why I'm crying, because I know that I trust God with her life. And what my husband said nailed it. He said, it's because we don't know which way we're going to have to trust him for. And that has become, my life and my relationship with God, is that I trust him. I may not understand it. I may not agree with him. But I've gotten to the point where I know he sees what I can't see. He knows what I don't know. And he made a way that we're going to be together again forever. I cannot wait for that moment. But in the meantime, I can't, in a way to honor Becca and in a way to honor God and even my own life and the rest of my children and husband and grandchildren and people who need us, I refuse to stay in that place of darkness. And, you know, it was interesting watching Becca learn how to live life with an amputation. And knowing other people did it, there's got to be a way to do it. And so after finding my way through the darkness, it was just like, I want to be one of those people that helps other parents find that hope and light and meaning and purpose again.
So tell us a little bit about what you are up to now, and are you continuing to journey across the United States? Where are you going with your ministry?
Yeah, right now in the summertime, we have a seasonal lot in Wisconsin, which is where the rest of our family is. So we hang out with them here, and sometimes we'll take the car, do conferences and stuff, but all of that is canceled for the summer. So a lot of it is being done online, but we will be pulling out in October because we can't stay here in the cold. So we'll be heading down like the East Coast, Florida, and then heading through those southern states and into Texas. And we're wanting to get small groups together because small groups can meet, and we love that intimate setting with other bereaved parents where we can just be together and encourage each other. And so that's the plan, and I do have a podcast and a blog and a YouTube channel and the weekly email Word of Hope. And so those things are still keeping me busy. It really almost feels like for us, not a whole lot has changed with this COVID because so much of what we do is online anyway, except for the traveling piece. But yeah, we do live in a home on wheels. We call it the Hope Mobile. And so we've actually enjoyed, we adapted quite well, and we enjoy the travel and living this way.
Laura, if people want to learn more about your organization, how can they do that, please?
Just go to gpshope.org.
Thank you so much. Laura Deal, she is the co-founder of GPS Hope, and we are also joined today by host Mitch Carmody. He's the host of Grief Chat, and you are listening to Grief Chat on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile through your fear and sorrow, smile and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness.